Italian Wine Podcast. Cin Cin with Italian Wine People.
Hello, this is the Italian Wine Podcast with me, Monty Ward, and my guest today is Giovanni Mazzoni. Giovanni is the manager of Podere Forte in the Orchievalley region of Tuscany, which is sandwiched between the Montalcino region and the Vino Nobile di Montepulciano region. Welcome, Giovanni.
Thank you very much. Very welcome yourself as well in Podere Forte.
Okay, so just give us a little bit about the history of the estate, because it's quite a new estate, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It has been founded in 1997 from Pasquale Forte. His desire was to recreate and build up his dream estate because of family reasons, because he used to live his childhood in the south of Italy, in Calabria. And then after his success in the electronic equipment for automotive, he wanted somehow to go back to the roots, to the soil, to the earth. And so
did his family have a farming background then?
He has in Limbadi, that is Calabria, close to Vibo Valentia. He owns land, livestock, but suddenly for family reasons he was obliged to move when he was 7 years old in Como Lake area, where he managed to build up his own entrepreneur success
in the electronics.
Exactly. And more than 25 years ago he said he felt the desire to go back to the roots, to the family, to the soil, and so he has been looking for a place to do his own estate up to the moment where he found this beautiful piece of paradise that is Val d'Orcia, this beautiful valley protected by UNESCO Worldwide Heritage since 2001, and he found a very ancient 200 years old estate. It was called Podere Petrucci. Everything started from there. It was at the time only 4 or 5 hectares, and he fell in love with this Podere, and he decided to, first of all, to give his name to the Podere.
To Podere Forte.
Exactly. And then he started the foundation of Podere Forte together with Donato Lanati.
Which is the consultant winemaker.
Esatto. Veronelli, Luigi Veronelli was there at the moment of the foundation, and Professor Attilio Scienza.
So Attilio Scienza is an Italian wine professor with various areas of expertise, and
Luigi Veronelli.
So Luigi Veronelli is one of Italian wine's, he's now no longer with us, a famous journalist, and his preferred style of wine was sort of traditional wines, not wines blasted with oak.
So that was the beginning. Today, Podere Forte has been expanded to more than 400 hectares.
But that isn't all vineyard, though, is it?
No, absolutely not. Because in the desire of Pasquale, he always said, I want to rebuild the so-called Cortes Romana. So it's the polyvalent farm. Is the agricultural garden when many elements are between them linked, therefore integrated, to be eco-sustainable.
So basically a vineyard, which isn't a vineyard, it's a vineyard part of a larger farm with animals, fruits, vegetables, herbs, etc.
Exactly.
And wild areas, forest.
Exactly. Today vineyards represents only 20 hectares planted, of which only 12 in production. Then we have about 35 hectares of olive trees, fields. More than 270 hectares are reserved for cultivating ancient variety of wheat. Senatore Cappelli, Gentil Rosso, this ancient variety gave us flour to make bread and pasta. I have to say that Podere Forte, since the very beginning, has always been managed in an organic way, officially from 2004. And after that, we decided to make an even more important steps towards the life in its general meaning, that is the approach and the conversion of the whole production to biodynamic. So today we produce wines, olive oil, honey. We have, as I said, wheat, lots of field to produce wheat, and animals. Livestock are part of the farm. We have the Cinta Senese pork that was almost extinct 30 years ago.
So that's a pig. It's called a Cinta. The Cinta means a belt. It's got a black stripe across its tummy.
Exactly.
That's it's a pig, isn't it?
It's a pig that is a different taste from the classical pink one. It's more complex and might taste better. Then we have livestock of Chianina cattle.
These are beef cows, aren't they?
Yeah, the beef. It's the biggest white cows with horn, which was used in the past like energy or tractor, really as a tractor force in the fields. It's not a milk producer, it's just for the meat, and it's famous for the Fiorentina steak.
The T-bone.
Exactly. We need these cows because we auto-produce our own compost. So we combined the manure from the cows, pruning and canoping from the vineyards, the marks from the cellar, only some types of wood from the forest, and these things are used to create our compost area that macerate for more than 15 months before being given back to the soils, to the fields, to the vineyards, to the olive trees, and so on.
So the idea, what we're being told, is that you're trying to, with biodynamic vineyards, you're trying to close the farm gate, create your own sources of fertility. So by having a mix of animals and plants, one of which, of course, is vines, basically recycle everything and compost it and check it and then put it back on the land. So some people say, oh, you're a sort of biodynamic head in the clouds, but there's a lot of science behind what you do. Tell us about the work of Claude and Lydie Bourguignon.
Well, these are two fundamental person for Podere Forte. We have always had them like consultants. They are considered to be the best world scientists for the life in the soil. And I have to say that in Podere Forte, any decision concerning the use of each pre-tested soil is driven from them. They decide the best rootstock and the best variety if the soil is vocated for vineyards planting. Otherwise, we use that for other purposes, olive trees or fields, whatever, and not for vineyards if they say no. So their job is fundamental. They are here 2-3 times every year. They drill, they test. The approach is to have the most modern means in the laboratory that we have. A scientific approach, thanks also to Lydie and Claude Bourguignon, so to verify that what we do is correct.
So this is very important because often biodynamics is seen as unscientific, and there are, let's be fair, some unscientific aspects to it, but the idea of analysing your soil before you plant and actually getting it right, having the correct rootstock and the correct cultivar, whether it's a Sangiovese or another grape, it just means that your job as a wine grower is easier because you're not constantly having to try and take the stone out of your shoe. And this is a real logic to what the approach that's been taken here.
Yes, in the end, the goal is to, as Pasquale Forte always said, is to increase, to improve, to make the soil better than when we bought. That means to increase the life in the soil. And this is not only a huge amount of work and time and energy, but is also an approach that we want to give because we measure the quality, the life, the humus, the enzymes activity in the soil is measured so that we know that every year we are increasing, we are on the right way, the right path to improve the life in the soil. The better is the soil, the life, and probably the better are the fruits that grows on this soil.
What about water? We're in quite a hot area.
Yeah, 2017 teached us something about the lack of water, and this will be one of the key problems in the future. We have to recover as much as possible water resource and consume as less as possible in the same way.
That's water from the air, it's rain. It's exactly. You're not talking about irrigated water.
Exactly. We are not allowed to irrigate. We don't irrigate only the younger vineyards before they enter into production. So we have a system of total recovery of the whole raining water possible from the vineyards, with all the channels, from the roads, from the roof of the cellar. Everything has been recovered in 3 different lakes, one following the other one in a sort of geodetical step, and we are trying even more to consume less water, approaching a system and a treatment that are more efficient.
So, I mean, how are you actually sort of connecting the water? You're doing what the Romans did and digging having little channels where the water drains without eroding the soil?
Yes, it's exactly like that. We have had some really difficult vineyards because they are planted in very slope, in it, like a sort of terrace, and each of these steps has its own channel to recover the water from that specific terrace, and by recovering system is collected all together into lakes. It's an ancient way of recovering the water, exactly as I said.
And do you use that water when you're spraying to dilute your sprays?
We do use this water for treatment. We use this water for younger vineyards, especially the first 5 years when they are not in production. Like in 2017, we had to give them some water, otherwise we could have lost many of them. And for gardening, for the animal, we have animal, Cinta Senese pork, Canina cattle, they consume a lot of water, and we have to give them water, possibly from what has been rained before.
But your pigs, are they living in a little pig pen, or they their natural habitat is the forest? So where do they live?
They live in sector, enclosed sector, where we divide it by age or even sex, as far as I know. And they are in a sort of place where they are closed.
In the forest.
Exactly. There is a gate where they can go in and out from this place, which means they are free to go in the forest, which is also the forest closed, but it's a very wide and wide area. They are are fed 2/3 of the yearly food from natural outside. So that means that we only give them 1/3 of biodynamic food to complete their needs.
And what about any other animals?
Well, it's a collection of the biggest one, as I said, are Chianina cattle.
So where do they graze then, the Chianina?
Chianina cattle, they are freed in our fields. They are born here because we have about 20 of them, and each year some new birth happens. We keep them and we change the park of this animal only 2-3 per year, and they are really kept like only for the manure. We don't need that because of the meat. We need their manure, so we treat them as better as possible. They eat in the grass in the fields. They are also them able to stay al pascolo, like we say in Italian.
In the pasture.
And then there are some other animals like the sheep. We need sheep. We have about 20 of them that we use after the harvest and let them free in the vineyards. They clean really everything. They bite every single berry left on the ground that would cause problem if left there.
So if a grape is left on the ground, it will attract fungus and act as an incubation point for fungus that will then carry over to the next season and create problems. And the whole idea of organic biodynamics is prevention rather than cure. So you get the sheep to clean the vineyard up.
Exactly. And hygiene is the key word all over Potere Forte, in the vineyards, in the cellar, during all the process.
So how are you measuring the success? Obviously, you're biodynamic, you have all these animals running around, it all looks very nice, but what about some science behind it?
There is a scientific approach, yes. We have internal laboratory of analysis that is really extremely advanced, and I would divide it in three branches. There is the classical science with the most modern and performing units and technologies. There is the sector of the sensible crystallization that is related primarily to the biodynamic approach.
Sensitive crystallization is a bit of a strange one. It's where you get a petri dish of crystals, basically you drop some wine in it and the crystals form patterns which may or may not show you if, quotes, your wine is happy or not. It's just the way that the crystals form.
And we have expanded it to not only to wine but to many things, to several aspects of to leaves, to soils, to compost, to even to the chicken breast that we grow, because we compare this with the other ones and the so evidence the difference. It's a pseudoscience, it's an interpretational science that help us as a complementary to the classical ones. There is a third part of the laboratory that we started 2 years ago that is called circular chromatography of soil and compost. These exams allows us to measure the enzymes activity. And you know very well that if you don't have water, air, oxygen, and enzymes activity, the soil is almost dead. Because we really invest a lot in time and energy with the goal to improve the life in the soil. But then in the end, always because of the scientific approach, we have to verify if what we do is correct. So these exams allows us to say, for example, at 2 meters deep, if the density of enzymes activity is a number and the following year this number is increased, that is a confirmation that we are doing well.
Tell us a little bit about the wine range from your entry-level wine to your top wine.
We produce today 3 red wines based on Sangiovese. 2 of them, we are in Tuscany, the kingdom of Sangiovese. The first one is Petruccino, that is a blend of primarily Sangiovese, almost 85% is Sangiovese, 15% in Merlot. The flagship wine is Petrucci, that is a pure Sangiovese Grosso that represents our maximum expression for care, for love and passion in wine production. And then there is a third wine that is very different because it's not based on Sangiovese, but it's based on Cabernet Franc. It's more on a Bordelais style. Total production today is around 40,000 bottles when everything is doing well.
But that's nothing for the... And the size of your vineyard is?
The size of our vineyards is in production. In 2018, there was 12 hectares.
Yeah, so you could actually make double the wine because you're so stringent.
The yield is very low. The yield is very low because of tension, selection, because of all the process that are driven by quality. We are talking of an average yield of 30 hectoliters per hectare. 25 hectoliters per hectare for the Grand Cru soil and 35 for the Premier Cru soil.
Which is about less than half what you could make.
Exactly. The goal in the future, and we are testing, and Lydia and Claude Bourguignon are still testing new chance of finding new soil vocated for the vines. We would like to arrive to about 40-45 hectares in the future, so to have a maximum of 100-120,000 bottles.
I forgot to mention that you actually use drones as well to save water. How does that work in the vineyard?
It's very important because the wing drones we already use since a couple of years, they are used to map the vigor of the vineyards or other problems. So it's very useful beautiful to have that that view, that angle from the sky.
So you photograph the vineyard and you can see if there's a weak spot.
Exactly.
So everything stays.
But there are software able to analyze the size of the leaves, the color, and therefore understand different kind of problems. Another use, but is still experimental, is the use of drones with nine impeller able to lift about 12 liters of biodynamic treatments that then will be sprayed on the vineyards without touching the soil. If you don't compact the soil, the oxygen, the water is better absorbed by that, and therefore it'll be easier to maintain from the life point of view.
Okay, and the advantage of that is if it rains, you can just go back the next day without, again, doing any compaction.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit about the winery, the barrels and the concrete tanks that you have, and the levels, the gravity level.
The winery is five floor, only one and a half are outside, and all the process happens by gravity, natural falling. There is the arrival, the upper floor is for the selection of the sort of all the fruits. We arrive to have a selection berry by berry, so all the best can go into fermenters at the lower level by gravity.
And you're fermenting in the mix of?
We are fermenting in a wooden tank, different sides. Of course, we don't use any, we use all indigenous leaves, and we don't inoculate anything, and fermentation happens by podolic pressure. So we start this fermentation by podolic pressure because we obtain a milder extraction of the tannins. And working with Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, Sangiovese, you know very well that they are very rich in tannins, flora. So we want to have a wine that is definitely elegant. After the fermentations are happening, by gravity we go in the lower level where there is the aging level.
The barrel aging area.
That is a combination of wood. It's not barrique, it's not tonneau, it's not wooden tank. It's a mix of them. More and more we are going in the larger size, I have to say. And highly attention is given to this aspect because you might vanify all the previous job and to obtain an elegant, refined wine without an overbody, not oakiness. So we don't want this sort of style. So we pay a lot of attention in the wood. As I said, it's a combination of sides. And as far as concerned the barrique, we use only the Taranceau and François Frère producer. They are considered to be the best. And with a very high attention in the selection of the wood, with higher thicker and we are with bigger thickness, so to have even less interaction between the wood and the wine. We
the don't thick, thicker stave.
Instead of 22 millimeter, the barrique has 27 millimeter. That means less oxygen in and therefore less interaction between wood and wine. Okay. We don't want even toastiness is something important because they are dedicated for our wine. Yeah? So we don't want to have impact in the wines.
So how do you keep the? Obviously you're underground. What about keeping it nice and humid? Do you have like an electrical system?
It's used only for 10-15% of the yearly consumption. So we have just restructured the one wing of the barrique cellar where we have there is a recirculating system of water that falls from the roof into stone. That works like a natural humidifier of the cellar. Moreover, the whole cellar has been somehow hidden in the hill, and all around the perimeter there is the exchange for the waters for the air. So also from a thermal point of view, we benefit of a natural refreshing system, limiting, as I said, the use of conditioning only to 15%.
I mean, you can actually hear the water running around, can't you?
It's
in the winery. It's like being in a.
It's a natural sounds of the water that you feel in the cellars.
Okay, and then finally you go to bottling, which is the lowest level.
Exactly, the lowest level is bottling, where there's the final work of the products, and then the aging and the rest of the wine in the special lower cellar.
So what are your main markets?
Main markets is Italy.
Really?
Yes, main market is Italy. In 2017, we had 51% of the volumes distributed in Italy, and could be even more. The demand is high. It's really the products are pulled from the market. I also believe that we will never be an exporting company in terms of 90%+ exported. The brand building is something that you start doing in the domestic market, being positioned in the best ambassador, like specialized wine shop, top restaurant, Michelin star restaurant. We have to be in the wine list where the great wines are, and this is brand building. Then we start to export. If I should make a ranking of the foreign countries, or a part of Italy, I would say United States, the historical Europe, so the central part of Switzerland, Benelux, Scandinavia were doing very well, French, Spain, going east in some Middle East countries, Russia.
But is the wine sold as being a really good red wine or really good wine or really good, quotes, biodynamic wine? What's the sales approach?
I think that in this moment it's primarily because of a good red wine, really good red wine. Biodynamics is neither recognizable in some country. In old country like Scandinavian, Italy, it starts to be important. I know that there are some action even from the Systembolaget in Sweden, which says that more share of the biodynamics wine have to be imported in the country.
That's the monopoly in Sweden.
Exactly.
Other monopolies are similar as well.
In Norway and
they want more organic
exactly.
wines.
Which is a good approach, but I believe that today, if I should say why it's positioned to the level, is because of its pure quality.
Have we missed anything?
The invitation, please. So it is that you deserve a visit whenever you are passing by Tuscany.
Okay, what's your favorite animal? You can only take one with you on the farm. Which would it be?
I love the guinea fowl.
The guinea fowl?
Yeah.
You didn't tell us about them.
Yeah.
How many guinea fowl have you got?
To be a farm, you need also not big animal, but also the small one, the chicken, the rabbits, the guinea fowl, the ducks. So all these things are part of the livestock that is integrated in the system.
You've got beehives as well.
We got beehouses.
So how did you design the beehives are at the bottom of the hill.
Yes.
And the food is at the food that they like is at the top of the hill, the kind of pollen that they're like. Why did you do that?
Because bees needs water, bees needs flowers, and so while they go out the early morning to...
They live near a little lake as well,
yeah,
don't they?
Okay.
They've got their own private lake.
Exactly. They have the water, they have a little lake just close to the bee houses, and they wake up in the morning and they go out empty, so they start eating and collecting all the treasure that they can pick up from the flowers, and it's easier for them the evening when they are heavy and full of these elements to fly back to the house.
Down.
Which means less energy. Otherwise, they couldn't do the opposite. It will be too heavy.
So basically, they have to wake up in the morning, they're nice and light, they're hungry, they're light enough to fly up the top of the hill where the food is, the pollen
exactly.
that they like. They eat it, they get a bit heavy, and then they just want to fly back home and watch TV.
Exactly.
BTV. Okay. All right, Giovanni, thanks very much for the explanation of what is going on in Podere Forte in the Orcia Valley. As you mentioned right at the start, it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and I think this is one of the most outstanding biodynamic vineyards on the planet, simply because the quality of the wine is so important. People can talk about biodynamics all they want, but you've got to produce a product that really shows why this farming system can work. But really, it's about this estate being incredibly biodiverse, and there's a real coherency to what they're doing, backed up with quite a lot of science as well. Not just with the Bourguignons, but others as well that will help them with the soil and stuff. So you can't do a good farming job if you have a stone in your shoe all the time. You've got to get things right first time. And I think this is one of those estates where they've really set everything up in a super way. So I just want to say thank you to my guest today, Giovanni Mazzoni from Podere Forte in the Orcia Valley. It's been great talking to you and hearing about all the biodiversity here and all your animals. And look forward to coming back.
Grazie, grazie mille. A presto. Arrivederci in Podere Forte. Arrivederci.
Follow Italian Wine Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.